I saw you all gathered around the snack table like bees in a hive. It was so good this morning. So we want to say many, many thanks to, I believe it was Blue who brought our snacks today. Superb choices all. Thank you so much. And next week for October the 4th, it will be the orange bees who will be bringing all of those good things that we're going to enjoy. So next week, the ladies of the orange will be providing our snacks. And gentlemen, yes, of course, the ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Next week, we also have another Red Letter Day coming because two more good friends of ours and of this kind of work who have placed it within the Parker Palmer Circles of Trust work, both longtime church women and professionals, Georgia Noble and Nancy Edmondson, I know her well, and sorry for the name escaping me, darling. They will be with us to share their, I think, very remarkable work with Circles of Trust. You're going to have a wonderful morning with them. So we have had a chance to peek at some of the technologies. I think John will be able to stay a little while after. I don't know about Eileen, but we're going to gather ourselves back again for the remainder of Melinda's wonderful sharing with us, and then there will be time for a little question and answer at the end. So back to Melinda.
And the movie. So, anybody that had the heart rate variability, you know, use some of the technology, I mean, how was that to actually see how quickly our, it's not just theoretical, how quickly when our attitude or emotions change, how it affected our heart rate? Anybody have that experience? Raise your hand. Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? It's happening all the time. So we really have to be really care for our hearts and what we're thinking. We owe it to our well-being to really practice these tools and stay coherent as much as we can. And I wanted to point out, I said that it would practicing the heart lock-in technique is a time that we start really creating more neural pathways and hanging in that space of coherence and building our coherence baseline. And I wanted to explain kind of why. It's what it does is our resilience gets built, and we refer to our resilience as the capacity. That's the important operative part of that. The capacity to prepare for, recover from, and adapt in the face of stress, challenge, or adversity. So we want to have as much resilience as possible, right? Like a cell phone, or like how much of a battery do we want to walk around with inside of our being? Do we want to like those little triple A's, you know, and it's like, uh-oh, I'm running out of energy. Or do we want like a big battery? Just lost the sound. Okay. We want a big battery. We want reserves, right? So when things happen, we still have reserves and we can respond and stay coherent. Stay in the zone. So that's what these tools do, is especially practicing the heart lock-in in times when you can dedicate to that, just keeps building more and more coherence and increasing our coherence baseline as well as our resilience. And there are different domains of resilience. So we came here wanting to be resilient in our spiritual realm, right? Like how flexible are we? What's our commitment to our values? And our tolerance of other people's values and beliefs or driving habits. Okay? And then our mental resilience, like being mentally flexible, we can be open-minded and consider other possibilities, our attention span, our ability to focus. And we want an ability to incorporate multiple points of view. So that's our mental resilience. there's also the physical, you know, when we, our physical body, our physical flexibility, our endurance, our strength. And then there's our emotional flexibility, like how can we shift if we are in an incoherent feeling into a different feeling? How can we, how much control do we have over our outlook and our ability to self-regulate? And these are tools for self-regulating that we've been working with today. So guess which one is the one that takes us out the most? It's the most important to make sure we have in balance, because it affects all the others. If it's not working, then the other ones are compromised. It's the emotional one. Because if we're overly reacting to something, it affects us physically, affects us mentally, it affects the thoughts that we have, and affects us, our access to our spiritual heart. So we want to build that resilience doing that heart-focused, the heart lock-in. And the heart-focused breathing is the first step, oftentimes so that we know, okay, I can have a choice here, what I want to do here. I'm starting to react. And the other reason is that our thoughts and feelings affect our heart's magnetic field. We saw what, you know, affected our pulse when we went and used the technology. But this is where energetically we radiate. They can measure it with a magnetometer. They can measure it 3 feet out from the body. That's just a limitation of the measuring tool. We know when somebody cares. Have you felt when somebody cares about you from far away? Someone was radiating care, right, to what state?
Spain.
Okay. Radiating heart to Spain. So not only did she benefit, but she was radiating heart there. If we read something distressful on the news and go like, oh my gosh, you know, there's an earthquake or there's a war, I wish there was something I could do. We can send compassion. We can radiate compassion. If you were in trouble, wouldn't you be wanting to be feel the feeling that there was a compassionate world out there when you're feeling all alone? It's something we can do, and it's better, it's good for the giver and the receiver. So this is like a computer-generated, they're trying to describe, it's called a torus, which describes the way that the field radiates out. But yes, there's an intersection of where we influence each other. And there is a, with a 75% accuracy, scientists can measure what's going on, the frequencies in this carrier wave. That means the emotional frequencies that are in that carrier wave that we're broadcasting. So they can tell if you're stressed. They can tell if you're sad, mad, glad, whatever, just by interpreting what's in your electromagnetic field. So when we, if we're upset or we're happy or whatever, it has an influence on others. And I love when you guys all started with getting coherent, getting into your heart, sending love, those things, that creates a coherent field. All right? And everybody can feel it. It feels better. Matter of fact, that as I said, that heart lock-in technique especially helps build a field of coherence around us. And it also helps raise that baseline of our level of coherence. And they actually did some tests where they took 3 people, and 2 weeks before the event, they taught them some quick coherence technique. Now, that's just heart focus, heart breathing, and connecting with a renewing, regenerative feeling. Then they put people, the 4 people, these groups of, you know, 10 groups. They've done this more, but the first time they did it, it was like 10 groups that they worked with. And they brought them into a room, and they instructed the people that had been trained into coherence that at certain times they were to get coherent, and other times just to let that go. And then they all had heart rate variability monitors, similar to what we played with here. But they have small versions of it too. And they all had those. And it sure, in every case, I think it was like 95% of the cases, the person who knew nothing about what was going on or even why they were there got coherent when the others got coherent. Yeah. And I didn't even know this when my dog had had oral surgery and came home in pain. But right when they discharged him, well, if you had been brushing his teeth, we wouldn't have had to remove that tooth. You know, he said it in front of the whole waiting room. It's like, you know, and I was ashamed. And so I thought, oh, my gosh, he's going, oh, oh. With every exhale, it's like, oh, man, it's 9 o'clock at night. What can I do? I was trying to Google, you know, pain for dogs. What can you give them that's over the counter and all this? And I thought, oh, he's in distress. I can help him in pain. Pain is stressful, right? I can help him. This is actually a wonderful to use with pain, is, you know, radiating to our care. So I said, radiate to a body part if you want. Radiate your care. So literally, I thought, well, I'll hold him against my chest and love him and he'll do better. Well, it didn't. And I got out my M-Wave and sure enough, I was red. I thought, why am I red? And I checked in with my heart intelligence and I said, because you're feeling really guilty. I didn't even realize I was feeling that. Here I was trying to help him and I'm radiating my incoherent guilt and shame onto him. And immediately my heart intelligence goes, look, all the siblings are dead. You did a really good job. You know, you've been a good dog mom. You've done this and this and this and this. And I went, oh, yeah, you're right. And immediately, it went green. The dog quit crying, and he never cried anymore. Seriously. And it was like, I was like, okay, I'm going to become a heart math practitioner. I learned it, but I wasn't one yet. It's like, okay, this works. It's the dog test. Because he did not have any subliminal suggestions ahead of time. So, That's the power of our coherence. So I want to do a quick review, and then we'll do a quick movie about heart intelligence, or we can do question and answer. So does anybody have any questions so far, or comments, or anything they want to share?
Okay. Could you do just a real quick one sentence? What is the heart lock technique? Is that where we get down to radiate?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
good.
So here's what you can do. You know, on your sheets here that have the quick coherence technique where it says heart-focused breathing, activate a positive and renewing feeling, and pencil in below there, sustain and radiate. And now you're in a heart lock-in.
Okay. Can I ask, because I find when I try this, and I do have a little device, so I've been trying it at home, in the beginning it's easier. I can stay green, and then I keep fluctuating in and out. So I don't see how that would lock me in to go out in the world when I can't even keep it going past 3 minutes.
Okay. Well, with practice, good point. So with practice, and there are other heart math tools too for dealing with, like, doing cut-throughs to what's going on underneath that may be actually bothering us. That maybe it's going on in the background. You ever had your computer worked on and they go, oh, I see why it's moving so slow. It's not operating very well because there's a program that's running in the background that's stuck and it's using up all your central processing unit. Things we worry about, things we're concerned about, do that as well. So that's an opportunity then to, you know, maybe your heart wisdom could even answer that question as to, like, what's taking me out and what can help me, you know, come back into my coherence. Because we want to be authentic with not just try to do happy head. If we try to do a mental process of thinking positive thoughts only without feeling them, it won't work that long. If we sincerely are sincerely in the act of appreciating, of being grateful, of, you know, these different renewing feelings, that will help. And maybe it's if we start focusing on one thing that we appreciate or gratitude, maybe we want to shift to something else. That's another possibility too. to switch what we're focusing on. It can be really helpful to create a list of things that help us get coherent. Because sometimes, if we are stressed, it's hard to get there. But if we've written it down, it helps anchor it. It's like, oh yes, there is this thing. Yeah, okay, got it. Ferris wheel with the kids when they were really little, and it was a long time ago, but that was like one of those magical heart-opening moments. You can go there. Something like that. Is that helpful? Great. Yes?
This is more a comment. I spent some time with somebody, a participant. She isn't here today during the week, and she told me something I didn't hear last week. And that, oh gosh, am I going to forget it? This is
our focus point.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So you're at that place of focusing.
Let's just all radiate some care. Let's radiate some care.
I found the imagery of descending your vision into your heart. You used the term elevator. That was really very visceral and powerful for me, actually, looking through the heart. And then when I was doing my compassion and appreciation part, actually then looking into the heart of the person that I was thinking about. And so that actually was tangible heart-to-heart connection. So I just really, that made a big difference. And also that I stopped, you know, often when a person's meditating, they can't stop the different thoughts coming through, but there was absolutely nothing else that was confusing my experience there. So that was really helpful. Thanks.
You brought several good points. And that is one point that if we're using the technology, it's really easy to get outside of us and start looking at the technology. And we left our center. We left our heart here. We're surrendering it to our brain again. So that can happen. Honestly, when I there's a, you know, telephone ones, that you can, mobile phone ones, or you know, pads and stuff, I don't look at it. Honestly don't. Because that's going to take attention away from here. And what I'm working with is here. It's not out there. But it has these chimes that totally keep me on track. So I can be working, returning emails or something, I'll go, uh-oh.
The ding.
Okay. Heart focus, heart breathing, come back to center. I can be using some of the tools, doing a lock-in. If I hear the ding, that means, okay, go back, reset. But otherwise, we can sit there, and it's easy to start thinking that the thing is going to judge us or show up, that we might have it. Once we have it go red, we can get into really like, oh, hope it doesn't go red again. And then we're creating more stress. And we get into performance anxiety. All of us do. We all want to perform the way we would like to see ourselves, and we'd like others to see us. And that can be a trap too. Just our own M-wave can be, it turned for a while, it was my worst enemy. It's like, oh, I can't do anything right. You know, all the tapes that just kicked, which is a gift, because I got to go, oh, I didn't realize I felt that way. But it was, that was going on. But what? Let it be your friend. Yeah. It just maybe the chimes to say, oh, okay, let me go back.
Would you talk more about radiation? Because it seems to me I've had the experience being in a situation like that where you're calm and you think about someone and a situation, and then the phone will ring and that person will call you, or they'll send you a text message, I love you, or something like that. And so would you talk more about radiation?
Well, our heart is like a radio station, and it is broadcasting all the time. And there's also like, almost like a quantum field. I know Patricia used a beautiful word for it last night when we were having dinner, that field of connection. It's not definable by time and space. And we can tap into that zone. I mean, it honestly heightens our intuition. What were the words you used for it, Patricia? Yeah, it's like it taps into more of like a quantum field of intelligence. And when we're heart-focused breathing, it's opening up our spiritual heart, and that's where we have access to so much. So we're radiating that, and someone else is going, oh, wow. Yeah, I love her. I'm going to call her.
You, as well as David last week, suggested that we make a list of the positive feelings that expand us. Actually, a list.
What we appreciate. What we have gratitude for. Yeah.
Yes. Why not? And he said, but there's some that you might keep in your back pocket. You keep them for big emergencies. And I remember this by actually having enacted it. I mean, I went back to my seat flustered, and I intuitively moved into my back pocket. And all of a sudden, it was clear again, and it was it.
That's how it works. Thank you.
I wanted to give tribute to the woman who started this group years ago, a Catholic woman who wanted to start a Catholic woman's Bible study. And I know she listened to her heart because she overcame great obstacles in order to get this thing going. And it became what it is now from a woman's Bible study. But we started with scripture, and that was a good way to start.
Mm-hmm.
But her favorite song, one of them, was "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine." And she did.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful tribute.
Her name was Ginny Cashman, and she died about over a year ago, I believe.
Oh.
She was precious, yeah, to everyone.
Yes. And in the kids' programs, because HeartMath has kids' programs for all different ages, from preschool, really little teddy bears and stuff, all the way up to high school, college, you know, college de-stress, teenager de-stress. And with the little kids one, they recorded some songs, and it's like "This Little Heart of Mine." They sing it the same way with "This Little Heart of Mine" for the kids. So beautiful. I like to sing to it sometimes. Yeah. Yes.
I have a question for you, and that is, we're activating the field of gratitude, we're locking in, and it still seems kind of that we're still dealing with this, the mind, in a way, and that the heart's sending messages up, and have we done, because the more you do that, the wider your heart gets, probably not just in the moment, or I'm wondering if they've
more
looked
accessible.
At that, not just in the practice, during practice time, but that invigoration of that warmth and loving and connecting to it in a real visceral, heart, deep, not brain way. Any longer heart radiating beyond the moment benefits, or, I mean, I know you've talked about in the moment practicing, but what would you, do you have anything else to talk about in that regard?
Okay. What are the benefits, or tell me more?
No, we're talking about, you showed us how when we activate this mm-hmm. and we lock it in, and mm-hmm. that the brain, the heart sends messages to the brain,
right.
and we calm down and we have these physiological, mm-hmm. but what I'm saying is that we're giving heart attention. It is always giving heart attention, and like flexing a muscle, that we're going to the heart a lot more often. It's consciously
yes.
going to the heart. And what I'm asking is, any more, I don't need data, but how that impacts our capacity when we activate all those happy memories, we've got not only them in our back pocket for an emergency, we've got them in us, available.
Yes.
So I'm just wondering
okay.
if you would speak
to that. I think I know what would be helpful, and that is that we are actually creating more neural, you know, N-E-U-R-A-L, neural pathways, because there are 40,000 neurons in the back of the heart. There are pacemaker cells in the brain. The two communicate all the time. That's that pathway we were looking at between the heart rate variability. Am I answering your question? Okay. Between what, whether we're in a coherent or an incoherent heart rate variability that our brain is listening for. And we literally are creating more pathways, let's say, to the positive emotions in our amygdala. Because remember, we are designed to survive. That's why our hardware, our old hardware, is here to help us survive. It's here to help us respond to emergencies and survive. Now, it's looking for problems, potential problems. And we can get into looking for potential problems all the time because that's what it's designed for, the old hardware. We need new software. This is new software. This is new software that we're installing to monitor and to use this old hardware. So the amygdala is predisposed towards negativity, towards how to survive, what might have gone wrong in the past. And it isn't designed that much to help us thrive. That's why it takes a lot of work to stay conscious, stay connected to our spiritual heart and stay in balance, right? Because there aren't as many, it's just more predisposed to not only when the negative ones come in like this, or the other ones, the positive emotions, it's like, oh yeah, that's nice. But the other ones are going like, you know, it's like, hey, you know? So this is our opportunity then to start creating more neural pathways to the positive, renewing feelings so that we can get there more often. Just like, I think of it as like a hiking trail. That once the first few times we start taking it, maybe a lot of brush on it, and even if it's a better path, but there's a lot of brush on it, and it takes a little more traveling before it gets as wide as the one we've been going on automatically, even if it wasn't optimal. So we just have to start creating more of those neural pathways. Yeah. Thank you. Global coherence. So the. We have 7 minutes. Can I do a video? It does. Basically, the if you go to heartmath.org, which is the HeartMath Institute that's done all the research, they have a website there. You'll click on GL Coherence, and that's short for Global Coherence. That used to be the old separate website. But if you click onto there, there is a care room that you can go to and practice doing a lock-in and radiating heart to the planet. Yeah. And especially like if there's an event that happens and something, you know, in the world that really could use some care, they'll actually have that care focus there. And you can see, once you log in and become a member, you can see on a map how many people around the world, like little dots of light, literally dots of light, there are around the world that are on in that moment, I have goosebumps, that are in that moment sending care to the world. They have I just did the full moon one. They try to do one like something that's recognizable, like because there are different calendars in the world and stuff, so they do a full moon. You know, that happens all over. So they do like a full moon one, and they do it several times a day for people all around the world. We have sensors around the world that have proved that, and they'll explain it there, that when there is collective human emotion, like when 9/11 occurred, how it affected the ionosphere, and measured in the ionosphere the shift after it happened, because it, so many people in the world were affected by it. So check that out. I think you'll really, really enjoy that. So I know it's noon. Yes.
Yeah, this is a speculation question, but when the moment of death comes, what elements or parts of what you've been speaking of, I mean, you used the expression, for example, the spiritual heart, and what elements in this whole gestalt go with us, as it were, to the next life, and which I know the physical stuff stays behind, but you know, do you have any sense?
That's a different class, but what my sense of it, I can just share my own personal experience, is that I feel that my heart is a direct connection to my spirit. I do. And I think that's why it has like the bigger picture, much bigger perspective than just, you know, a limited perspective. And I feel that I'm actually, my spirit is growing, evolving, loving, becoming more of who I can be, thriving, I mean, by doing this. I feel closer to my spirit, closer to my heart, the heart of who I am.
Not just a magnetic field.
Mm-hmm. Right. I feel it's like there's an evolution that has gone on. It was like maybe that's why I'm here. You know, it's like maybe that's part of our life purpose is to love more. You hear people on their deathbed, what do you wish you'd done more? They usually say, I wish I'd loved more, right? That is, and they're ready to, yeah. Is that helpful? Great. Thank you so much. It has been such a privilege to be here with you all. Such a privilege. Thank you so much.
Oh, Melinda, we thank you. I think everyone is walking out with a better sense of the reality of this, that we can, in fact, rewire our old software. We have the model in the life of Jesus and in the countless mystics who have followed. And for those of you who are interested in yourself following up on some of this marvelous technology, the biofeedback stuff just helps us to wire it in. Our John Mudy has a sign-up sheet on his table for anyone who would be interested. He's expert, and he would be a fine guide. So if you would like to follow up on some of the technological questions or experiences you've had this morning, please go find that sign-up sheet, put your name down, and John can work with you. You may want to do one-on-one, just some Q&A, or you may want to develop a support group. But how lucky we are to have that resource here in Santa Barbara. So next week, we're turning the mic over to the wonderful Georgia and Nancy, and I thank all of you hardy pioneers for coming and trying this out with us. Anything I've missed? All right, go in peace.